This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Ringgit and Cents on BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. I'm Roshan Kunnison and you're listening to Ringgit and Cents, the show that's all about personal finance. Now, Budget 2020 happened over the weekend and lots to talk about there from various points of view. But today we're going to take a look at how it affects you. To help me explore this, I have in the studio with me Louis Ohan, CEO of Ringgit Plus. Welcome to the show, Han.
Oh, thanks for having me.
It's been a while. I think it's been, you were here earlier this year to talk about how Experian had entered the picture. But now let's take a look at Budget 2020. First thing off the bat, what were your key takeaways here?
For me, like if you want to summarize this year's budget in a couple of sentences, it would be very digital is the word, highly inclusive, and jobs, right? That was really interesting in terms of, you know, how they just had a huge net for jobs.
So that's the big headlines coming out of the budget 2020. But when it comes to the nitty gritty, how will this really, how is this going to affect my wallet?
If you look at it, like the part of it that affects consumers or you know, the everyday person is actually not too much. But a couple of key points, you know, you're looking at expansion of BSH. If you are in the B40, that's good. Minimum wage, that's another big one for the B40 segment. For everyone else, really only a couple of things, right? You're talking about a few subsidies. If you're in that target group, either B40 or some people in the M40 who have certain cars of a certain age, you get the benefit. Everybody else might be seeing higher fuel prices going on. So that's how it will affect your wallet as a petrol user. And then a couple of things for parents. So there's the key thing that was missed by quite a lot of people is increase in childcare tax reliefs.
Yeah.
That's going to be big for parents, right? Because 1,000 ringgit per child is not a small amount. Yeah,
so little things here and there, but I think all in all, they add up to something that can help out.
Yeah.
And when it comes to the fuel subsidy, the comments I'm hearing is, oh, how is this really going to help? I think the context to look at it is, when the price of petrol starts to float, this subsidy should help buffer the change, the volatility in prices, I think.
Yep.
Otherwise, we just have to think about it as a floating fuel price.
Yeah, I mean, for the majority of the T20 or folks who have larger cars, or larger engine cars, they will feel the brunt of that floating mechanism, like if prices go up. But for everybody else, you know, in the B40 segment, by default, they get the subsidy. So they just get the money straight out. And for a certain group who have, you know, smaller cars, they will get this card mechanism that hasn't been explained what's going to happen. But economically, for a consumer, I expect that to be effectively that 30 cent subsidy.
Yeah. And was there anything else you were paying attention to here in this budget in terms of, let's stick to the consumer side still?
Yeah, sure. I mean, the big thing, which is important to us at Ringgit Plus, we're in fintech, right? So the big thing that was impacting the consumer was that 30 ringgit for an e-wallet thing. It's very interesting. I guess they're trying to stimulate the digital kind of cashless economy, similar to what the India did in a couple of years ago with demonetization. So what they did was they removed a certain number of banknotes, and that forced a lot of people to just go, okay, well, there I don't have this note now, so what do? I've got to pay using something. Okay, e-wallet, that works, right? And I think this 30 ringgit into the hands of 15 million Malaysians, it's not small, right? It's the amount may be small, but the scale and reach for a consumer is huge, right? And I think I'm hoping that provides some sort of impetus for someone to go, hey, you know, I was thinking of this, I'm not sure, but guess what? The government's saying, try this out. So if I was thinking, it might not be safe, look, the government's saying, I'm giving you 30 ringgit to try it out. Why not try it out? It's 30 ringgit. If you combine it with everything else that everyone's offering in the market right now for the e-wallet players, that's going to be more than 30 ringgit, right?
Yeah, so I'm actually very curious to see how this plays out. Yeah. Because if it's successful, then we're going to see more e-wallets come into the picture. If it's not, then I guess there's a lot of 30 ringgits not being used out there. But I guess the common criticism here is that is 30 ringgit enough to incentivize someone to start an e-wallet account? I guess that's really personal, right?
You'd be surprised. Like, so for me, like, I got asked the same question for civil servants. Is 50 ringgit really going to help somebody? You know, you're giving a cost of living, I think it was called a cola, 50 ringgit. Is that really going to help somebody? And you'd be surprised for someone in the B40, 50 ringgit can be the difference between going hungry or not. right? Yeah. And that for me is big impact. So I wouldn't underestimate the impact of 30 ringgit, especially since they've limited it to, you know, the M40 and B40 segment. So T20 not included.
Yeah. So just some quick math. Let's assume that someone's earning 3,000 ringgit and getting this 30 ringgit e-wallet. That's 1% of your income. That's not something to take lightly. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Again, for somebody in the B40 segment, it can be the difference between going hungry today or not. Right, and don't that's not something to be scoffed at.
No, not at all. And but for more of the fintech side, I'd be curious to see whether this really pushes e-wallet adoption out there. And I'm sure this is something I'll explore and bring in sense in a few weeks' time or something like that. Coming back to Budget 2020, from your view at Ringgit Plus, what was gaining a lot of traction when you were writing or posting online?
I mean, because we covered it the whole evening on Friday, and then a little bit after, and that's why I say like it was very wide budget, lots of people, very inclusive. I guess is the kind of positive way to look at it. Very wide, inclusive budget, and that's why for a lot of people it was like, hey, that sounds all right. You know, it's not game changing for me, but that sounds all right. The two things that got a lot of attention was one, maternity leave, right, increased from 60 to 90 days. That got a huge amount of virality for us when we covered it. One thing to remember is that nothing's been gazetted yet. It's not been decided. I think the exact words was mengkaji, which is we'll study this in the change. So it was just something that they were saying we want to do this rather than we have done this. And the other thing that got a huge amount of attention was this super high earner tax, right? Which is kind of strange because the government even said, hey, there's only 2,000 people earning above 2 million ringgit a year, which that's a strange target segment that you're targeting. And for me, that's if you ask me, that kind of policy missed the mark a little bit. Not because I don't support earning more revenue from the rich. I think that's fine. Most people would be fine with that. But it was really that it doesn't quite hit the mark, right? You don't really target that many people. And now we've got a visual tax rate, a personal tax rate of 30, right, versus 20s, right? And for me, that's obviously a negative signal for folks looking to come and work here. Oh, okay, top tax rate is now in the 30s rather than in the 20s when it used to be last year, right? Something which might have been done is some sort of sensitivity analysis. How much can we actually collect from these kind of 2,000 people, right? Okay, why not just extend the net a bit wider and keep that top tax rate below 30, right? And say, hey, we're still in the 20s, it's high 20s, but we're still in the 20s and we cover just a lot more people. The nation's coffers still get enriched by the same, if not more, right?
Do you think there's a psychological impact of having the top tax rate enter the 30% territory?
No, absolutely, absolutely. I think for Malaysia, we're still a developing nation within the ASEAN group, and we've got to watch our neighbours and see what the top tax rates are. We were competitive in the 20s. You know, other ASEAN nations have tax rates in the 30s, and now we just become a little less competitive for someone, a high income earner looking to, you know, set up shop here, or a multinational business looking to come here with high skilled jobs, which have high incomes, right? So for me, that's by default a negative signal. I'm not saying anything. It's my opinion. It's negative. It's just by default a negative signal that we become just that little bit more uncompetitive, in terms of personal income taxes. It might have been better to keep it in the 20s and try and extend the net a bit. I'm pretty sure somebody earning, you know, above a million ringgit a year will still be okay with paying a little bit more tax.
Yeah, so this is when it comes to our taxation system, I think we always forget that it's the additional income tax that you pay, right? You don't pay the 30% or the 29 or the 28 on your entire income. It's the additional from the previous bracket. So even if you're earning a million or 2 million, you're not actually paying an effective tax rate of 28%.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, income taxes, personal income taxes in Malaysia are similar to most other places, progressive, meaning you pay that incremental amount on the incremental income you get. So for this new tax, is anyone earning, the amount of anyone earning above 2 million is taxed at that top, you know, 30% tax rate, used to be 28. So that extra 2% on everything above 2 million ringgit.
Yeah, and we're going to continue discussing Budget 2020 in just a little bit. I'm speaking to Liu Yuhan, CEO of Ringgit Plus. This is Ringgit and Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. Stay tuned.
Ringgit and Sense on BFM 89.9. The
Business Station.
BFM 89.9, thank you for staying with us here on Ringgit and Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. This morning, I'm speaking to Liu Yi Han, CEO of Ringgit Plus. Now, Han, we've covered a bit of the top headlines coming out of Budget 2020. Was there anything that you thought went under the radar?
There are a couple of things. Obviously, I think the childcare one's interesting, and I mentioned it earlier. Like that kind of got lost in the whole budget thing. Where hey, actually, for every parent who sends their kid to childcare or kindergarten, there's a whole heap of people. ₱1,000 extra for tax relief, that's huge, right? So that's one. The second, I guess, was a lot of focus has been on, hey, that's a lot of money for job creation, ₱500 to the employee, ₱300 to the employer. But what flew under the radar a bit is that you don't actually just get the money up front, right? It gets put into your EPF account. And for me, that's huge for Malaysia. I mean, we at Ringgit Plus, we run studies all the time on how well people manage their money and how are they prepared for retirement. And we found that lots of people aren't really prepared for retirement, right? So for me, what flew under the radar here was that, hey, we want to get you back in a job or to get a job, right? We're going to pay you incentives to get back in a job, and we're going to pay your employer incentives. But how I'm paying you is not just upfront. I'm going to help you, with your financial security in your EPF account for the long term. And that's, if you think about it, ₱500 for 2 years, a month for 2 years, that's ₱12,000 that goes towards retirement, which is huge. It's humongous, right?
Yeah, I think there's a bit of there were some criticisms coming out of this. In fact, Julian Ng spoke to YB Syed Saddiq, Minister of Youth and Sports, about this very issue. And I think there's a bit of discussion around whether you'll be able to withdraw that ₱500 incentive, because Julian's point was that this is not going to help the cost of living if you're going to hold it up. And Saddiq did say that there may be a special account for that withdrawal. But as that interview has pointed out, obviously not everything has been ironed out just yet.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm all for that idea, which is you can give people extra money, right? Not that we don't trust people with the money, but every single dollar today that goes to your retirement is in the EPF, which is designed to combat inflation, right? When you retire, that 12,000 is going to be way, way larger, right? And for me, that's one way of handling cost of living. It's just, rather than just giving you what you need today, I'm going to make sure that you go a long way towards like combating inflation, combating the cost of living over like a 30, 40, 50 year period, right? Which when you retire, don't worry so much about inflation. We've got that part of it covered. And if most viewers or most listeners would know about EPF, you can withdraw, your EPF money for certain things. Which are very positive, right? Property ownership, education, medical expenses, these kind of things, I think, are the things that consumers worry about when they're thinking about inflation, not just, your day-to-day groceries, yes, but like it's those three kind of big things, which is, can I own a property? Education is very expensive. And what happens if I get sick, right?
Yeah, I think that's through account two right now, which is about 30% of your EPF money. Now, speaking of paying for things, Han, is there anything in this budget that's going to cost us, aside the increased income bracket for the T20 and the fuel subsidy? Was there anything that's going to, not hurt, but I guess, is there anything that's going to cost anyone?
Ooh, anything else other than fuel and for the super rich tax, they call it, super high income tax. I think the thing that might come out is for companies which rely a lot on logistics and small time logistics. So big logistics, you've got diesel. That's a whole different matter from petrol. But for kind of small time logistics which rely on petrol, and companies which do that, that's going to get expensive, which has ripple effects for the rest of the economy, right? If you're a business which is reliant a lot on kind of things like deliveries, on transporting things in a small scale, so not big diesel trucks, that's going to impact you, which will impact the consumer. Like we might see a little rise in inflation next year, despite what the government says. Nobody can predict that, but for me, that's just a natural impact of that. The second thing which flew under the radar in terms of costs was what was announced not this year but last year. in terms of the consumer digital tax, right? Which for those people in the kind of M40 or T20 who enjoy these kind of digital services, you're plugged into the digital economy as a consumer. You do your Spotify, your Netflixes, etc. That foreign digital tax is coming. It's coming January next year, and that's going to increase your price naturally by that 6%.
So let's talk about that tax for a second. This is specifically targeting services, right? Mm. So I'm guessing off the top of my head, front-facing consumer brands like Spotify, Netflix. Mm. But what about the little nitty-gritty like, say, Facebook ads or Google AdWords? Am I going to be charged 6% there?
Yeah. I mean, for businesses which use foreign digital services, that's going to come in, right? And most people see it as a new tax and, hey, I don't like new taxes. Things are going to get more expensive. But in the Malaysian SME or Malaysian business context, it's actually most people should welcome it. Why? Because if I'm a Malaysian digital services provider, right, I have to pay SST, right? Or rather, there is SST within the transaction that somebody has to pay, and I'm in that sense uncompetitive currently today with a foreign player which offers similar services. So for me, this is a leveling of the playing field rather than a new tax. And I think that's something for most people to remember.
I think a very good example here is maybe something like, let's compare Netflix and Astro, yep. Right? You've got to pay 6% SST on Astro, but you don't pay any taxes on Netflix.
That's exactly right. And I think, that's
a more direct way, I guess, be iFlix then. Because iFlix, I think you've got to pay a 6% SST.
Yep, exactly. For me, that's key, right? Which is someone like iFlix would be like, hey, I've been paying this, I've been under this tax regime the whole time. And like someone like Netflix has got an unfair advantage over me for their services because they're a foreign player. So for me, that as a consumer, you don't really see that. You just go like, hey, I like Netflix and now it's 6% more expensive. But actually you see it's not a new tax. It's just a streamlining of an existing tax regime that's present.
Evening out the playing field, right?
Exactly.
Because when it comes to business margins, every percentage point counts.
Yeah, exactly. Like, especially with large foreign players which have economies of scale, local players of digital services already have to compete on that basis. Having an extra 6% handicap, as it were, versus a foreign player, it's huge, right?
So let's talk about digital a little bit more. Now, there's a lot coming out of Budget 2020 with regards to businesses in the digital space. What were your takeaways here?
I was very pleased, obviously, as a digital economy leader here. I've never seen Malaysia, have such a strong focus. It was, I think, in thrust one, right? Digital economy being the backbone of our nation's economy, and every single initiative was huge for us, right? In terms of, hey, like we want to do two things in Malaysia in the next coming years, which is digitization and automation, right? And it's not just, digital services businesses, startups. No, it was SMEs going digital. So like things like e-payroll, e-point of sale systems, e-automation on their kind of the way they run their business process operations, as well as companies in manufacturing, right? Who say, hey, I manufacture, what about me? I can't just go digital, right? Well, it's not just digitization, it's also automation, which is there any technologies you can buy or research to automate, your manufacturing processes? And we're going to give you grants on that. For me, that was big. And all the way from that to very small business, digital business growth initiative. So the Cradle one is interesting. We were fortunate enough to be a Cradle recipient in the early days, and that was huge for us as a digital business, which not much support at the time other than from Cradle. So nice to see Cradle getting some support, as well as that e-wallet stimulus. That was huge for digital, right? Like that's the government saying, hey, like we believe we should be a cashless economy, a cashless society, and for me that's a whole range of spectrum of how a digital economy works, right? You've got automation, digitization, consumer, content creation, everything there.
If you had to single out one takeaway from the digital side of the budget, what would it be?
For me, if I were to take away one thing which was actually very, very huge and very wide, I mean, other than that 15 million Malaysians, 30 ringgit thing, was the 100,000 SMEs going digital in their key process operations. So that payroll thing, the e-post thing, for me, that's huge, right? That's going to transform a lot of businesses. I've seen companies just become so much more efficient from that. And for me, that productivity gains across such a large amount of companies, 100,000 companies, that's a lot. It's going to be huge for Malaysia.
All right, Han, thank you so much for stopping by the studio.
No worries, thanks.
I was speaking to Liu Yi Han, CEO of Ringgit Plus. This was Ringgit & Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. Up next is the 10 a.m. news bulletin and then Enterprise. I'm Roshan Kanasan, signing off for The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
Ringgit & Sense on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.